Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Kama Daf Ayin Gimel. We are holding 10 lines off the top of the Amud, right at the two dots, Tanan. Okay, so let's do a brief recap. Yesterday we had a Shaila, how to treat Edim Zayrimin, which involves a pair of individuals who come and present a story. It turns out it never happened. They weren't even there when the alleged incident took place. So after they offer their testimony on Sunday of this week, come Sunday of next week, two more witnesses come along and say, well, you two weren't even there when, you know, you pretend the story occurred, because actually you two were in our company in a totally different location at that very same time. The first pair become Edim Zayrimin, they're plotters, they're fabricators, and they have to go and compensate. They have to sort of take the place of their victim. So if they try to impose some sort of monetary payment upon him, they have to pay it, etc., etc. The question was, fine, so now they're Edim Zayrimin, and they're certainly considered pasul and discredited from offering any further testimony. But the question is, when, at what point do we apply that label? When do we declare them as Edim Zayrimin, which disqualifies them from any further testimony? Is it starting from this Sunday of this week when they have been discovered as Edim Zayrimin? Or shall we say L'mafreya? Abaye says L'mafreya, which basically means retroactively. True, we've only discovered this week Sunday that last week Sunday they offered false testimony. So in effect, we should declare them as Edim Zayrimin L'mafreya retroactively, in which case any testimony that they have offered throughout the week from last Sunday to this should be discredited and rejected as well. Whereas Rebbe says, no, the whole thing is really a chiddush, or we had another reason yesterday. In any case, it's only going forward. So their psul only takes place starting this Sunday, which is when they were declared at Edim Zayrimin. Let's try to prove one way or the other from our Mishnah. Tanan, we have the Mishnah, Ganav al Bishnai. So two Edim testify that this fellow stole an animal. V'tavach ha-mochar al-piyem. And they themselves also related that he did the tvicha and the mechira, which would trigger a dalet vehe payment. Turns out they're plotters, they're fabricators, they're falsifiers. V'nimtzu zemimim. Mishalmanas hakel, they have to compensate him totally. The entire dalet vehe. My lab, so we're assuming, she'idu al ha-gneva. How did this whole story take place? On Sunday, they presented that he stole. V'chazru v'yidu al tvicha. Monday, they presented that he did the tvicha. V'huz malagneva. Tuesday, they were discovered to be zemimin on Sunday's testimony. V'chazru v'huz malatvicha. And Wednesday, they were discovered to be zemimin on Monday's testimony on the tvicha. Asks the Gemara, B'Yisak Adaitach, L'mafreyahu nifso. If we are to say that the Edom are declared at Zayrimin retroactively from the moment they offer their false testimony, which in this case is back on Sunday, Hani, so these Edom, kiven de it zemulu hagneva, once it's been discovered that they are Edom Zayrimin on the first phase of their testimony, which they offered on Sunday, back on Sunday, Iglei Muslim, afraid, it turns out that they were really puzzled from then on. Tichi is hadwa tzvicha. You see, once they have been declared as Edim Zemimin retroactively starting Sunday, so once you're a puzzle on Sunday, you can no longer offer testimony on Monday. It's totally invalid. You're not an aid. You're not a qualified aid. So whatever they offered on Monday is pretty much disqualified. It's not related. It's not coming from Edim that are kosher, because these guys are apostles starting from Sunday. Kivan de itzamulag neva gloy muslim afreya. Turns out the chisadu atzvicha, that whatever testimony they offered on Monday pertaining to phase two to the Tvicha, Psulnabu, they were really possible already. So why are they paying for that? Am I Mishalm, not Tvicha? Why would they pay on the Tvicha if it wasn't presented by Eid? Amri, the answer given was like this. Let's tinker with the, you know, with the sequence of events. Hachav Mai Skinner was speaking. They testified about the robbery on Sunday, about the Tvicha on Monday. Come Tuesday, they became Zemimin on Monday's testimony. So it's sort of backwards. Ultimately, we found out that the Eidos of Sunday was also Zemimin, but it happened in reverse. It happened first Monday. We found out about Monday and then about Sunday. So when they became Zemimin on Monday's testimony, they were still purported to be valid Edom on Monday, because we haven't yet discovered that they were puzzles since Sunday, and that's why they have to pay. Well, says the Gemara Amri, the question was, well, you know, at the end of the day, soif, ultimately, ki hadri mitazmi agneva, ultimately, when it will be discovered that they falsified Sunday's testimony as well, so ultimately, igloim milsa, it's been discovered right now, dechiz hadwa tvich psul nhavul. True, it took us a while to discover this, but ultimately when we discovered, at the end of the day, when we know that Sunday's was false, so starting Sunday, they're apostle. So Monday's Eidus has no validity whatsoever. It came from non-Eidim. Amai Mishami. So why are they paying at Tvich on the phase two of their testimony? So what's the answer to that? And the response is, Shehidu Basachas V'huzmi. This is the solution. They testified about phase one, robbery. Phase two, the Tvicha. At the same very moment. Vas achas. Rashi explains. Tichkadei dibur. Within a very short time, like time it takes to greet somebody, which is pretty much like one unit in time. He stole, he did shechita. There was no lapse of time between these two testimonies. It's considered like one unit, one experience. And Tosafos explains, an Eid Zayim only becomes puzzle starting from the moment after he finished his testimony, because during the actual offering of testimony, you can always tinker and change and, you know, cancel as you go along, as long as it's within that same expression, which includes the, you know, couple of seconds after Teich Kedei Dibur, time it takes to greet somebody, which is still a reasonable amount of time, a couple of seconds, still considered part of the same unit of time. So the psul certainly doesn't happen during the expression of the Eid. It's only right afterwards, once you're past that Tirkei Dibur threshold. And since in this case, it was packaged together. He stole, he robbed, and he did the Shechita, all together as one testimony. So even if it's been discovered that they're psul starting from the Gneva, starting from the moment they presented, they testified about Gneva, but the actual declaration, the psul that we're going to label them with, is only going to be applied after they finish this whole testimony, which is after they speak about Tvicha as well. So it turns out that during the testimony on Tvicha, they're still kosher. And therefore, they have to pay. Let me get to know. So perhaps this whole discussion, Lama Freya, retroactive psul, Makana Labo, going forward, being po- it's machlekes tanaim as well. The Brisa says, "Hoyu shnayim eidin oisei shegalav." Two eidim testify that he stole. Vehein eidin oisei shetavach, and they themselves testify that he did shechita as well. Vehuz malagneva. They were discovered to be eidim zemimin on phase one. There's no payment at all on his account. Why? Because if there's no phase one, there's no phase two. If he didn't steal, he didn't do tvicha either. You can't have, you know, second base without first base. Eidur shabad l'maksas abad l'kula. So there's no payment on his account. I mean, they have to pay kefa because they were zemimin on the gneva, but he's put. What if who's mala tvicha? It's been discovered that there are falsifiers regarding phase two, but not regarding phase one. So everybody pays. they split the pot. Who mishalm tishlame kefil? The ganav still pays kefil for stealing. V'hei mishalman shlame ashtash varbo. They pay, you know, the extra payments, the add-on payment, which came on account of the tvicha, the shleisha. So that's the Tanakhama. Everybody pays. Am Rabbi Yossi, it depends. It's not so simple. He doesn't always have to pay. When does he have to pay? B'shtei eduyos. So the Gemara will soon explain exactly what these words mean. But first, let's just read the words. B'shtei eduyos. When these two phases, meaning the Gneiv and the Tvicha, were presented by two separate witnesses, two separate teams. Avobeidus achas, but if it's presented by one team, he won't pay anything. Eidu shabatha mektsasa bat lakula. Once part of it falls apart, the whole thing falls apart. Now, what does this mean? What does Rabbi Yossi mean when he says b'shtei eduyos, umay beidus achas, two eidus, one eidus? What does this mean? Ilayim b'shtei eduyos. When he says two, does he mean b'shtei eduyos mamish? Two teams of eidim. B'shtei kitas, right? Two teams. And when he says b'eidus achas, one eidus, he means b'kat achas, one team. B'ze achase. So, you know, same team. On Sunday spoke about him stealing. Monday they came back that he did the tvicha. Comes Rabbi Yossi and he says, there's a distinction. There's a big difference between this and that. Be'edos achas, when it's one team, speaking about the whole episode, be'kat achas, right? One team, be'ze achas, one day after the other, ki mesadi agneva, v'hada mesadi atvicha. So let's say, Sunday, it testified about the gneva, and Monday about the tvicha, ki metazmi atvicha. In this case, when they turn out to be zemimin on phase two, we cancel the whole story, even phase one, which took place on, which was presented on Sunday. Eidosh about the mktsas, about the kula. Part of the testimony falls apart, the whole thing falls apart. V'tazmu la'gneva, and we consider them to be zayimim even on the gneva. Why? Why would you say that? Mechatesi, who says? They falsify the tvicha, but not the gneva. Why would you stretch it to the gneva? Mechatesi hach, why would you say that? Apparently that's incorrect. Pshat and Rabbi Yossi. El Olava must be that he meant like this. When does this ganav still have to pay for the gneva? B'shtei eduyos, which means beidus achas. Really, it's just one team, but it appears like two separate presentations. Gneva was presented on Sunday, and the tvicha presented on Monday. Ke'en shtei eduyos. It resembles two pairs, which means two separate presentations. Meaning, one pair, one team, but one day after the other. So in this case, even though Monday's story was proven false, Sunday's story still stands. He's a god, pays kefil. But if it's one pair, but it's in one package, he stole, he shechted, which is teichah d'dibur, one in one sitting, there you wouldn't apply this halach. In this case, if the tvicha portion becomes huzam, the whole thing falls apart. Why? Usabrua. And the Bnei Yeshiva tried to explain this braisa. They held the kuliyam, all shittas, meaning Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan, both opinions in this braisa, are working with a well-known premise that, we mentioned this before, Teich Kedei Dibur, something which occurs within the Kedei Dibur range. Kedibur Dam is considered like, you know, the same expression, the same sitting. It's a single entity. Okay, so we're working with that given, with that premise. So what is the Machlekes? How do we explain why the Rabbanon say he pays the kefil, and Rabbi Yossi says he doesn't? In this case, where both phases were presented by the same Edom, within the same time zone, within the same Kedei Dibur, and phase two was discredited, Rabbanon say you still pay for phase one. The ganav is still considered a ganav because that first testimony still stands. Rabbi Yossi maintains that everything becomes canceled. What's the rationale behind that? Everybody holds theoretically it's one unit. Apparently the machlekes presents like this. The Rabbanon Savri, Rabbanon say that the ganava portion, part one of the testimony, still stands. They hold mekana labo nifso. The psul applied to Eden Zayman only starts today when they've been discovered as Zayman. Okay, so since the the Edom were declared as Edom Zayman only starting today, not from yesterday when they presented their false testimony. So we can very well say, Atvicha de kometazmi itzum, which part of the testimony became discredited? Only the second part. But Agneva lemetazmi lo itzum, but not the first part. Okay, so that still stands. Whereas Rabbi Yisi Savar lemafreya hu nifsa, the Edom are declared as Zayman starting from yesterday, from when they opened their mouths. And since the entire, you know, presentation is considered as one unit, the Gnev and the Tvicha Mechir are considered one experience, one expression, one opening of mouth, so to speak. So once part of it triggers a psal, they're puzzled throughout the entire episode. And the whole thing becomes discredited. Since the psal happens retroactively, when they open their mouth yesterday, once the azama gets applied to the tvicha portion of their expression, it's all one sitting, it's one expression, one experience. It has mulu namia gneva. The psul extends back to the first part of their experience, of their expression, of their edus. It's one unit. You can't split one unit in time. It's one entity. Anything happens within the same time unit, it's considered as one. Bottom line, apparently the machlekes Abaye v'Rav, when we declare them as Edom Zayman, is it going forward? Is it retroactive? Is it machlekes Tanoim? And we usually try to shy away, we try to avoid tying up the Amoraim with the Tanoim. Amri, so the answer was like this. No! You know, we're working with this, given that Tech Kedibur is Kedibur Dami. Who says? Maybe that in itself is the machlekes. Whether we have to keep it as one unit, or we could perhaps divide it and have the psul only apply to phase two, not phase one, and keep phase one intact. Amri. If in fact we all would subscribe to this halacha, then there's no way out. To Kuliyam, everybody would agree that Mafreyo Nipsal, the psul happens going back, and all things null and void. Says, regarding this very question, Rabban and Savri, it's one unit, undividable. Sorry, they hold it's not one unit. You can still divide the experience, and it's two separate testimonies. Second part is discredited, but not the first part. So he's still a gamma and pays kefa. Rabbi says, no, it's indivisible. Tarka dibur is one unit in time, one entity, can't divide it. Tarka dibur kedibur dami. V'savar Rabbi Yisi, really? Rabbi Yisi holds, Tarka dibur kedibur dami, v'atzinam, you have a mission in Temurah. How is it Temurah? Oyla Temurah Shlom. So a fellow gets up and points to his little sheep. He says, you know what? I want this to be the exchange, the extension of my oyla of my shlomim. I want the kedusha to get applied to this animal. But he's sort of confusing because he's labeling him as a tmura of an oyla and a shlomim. How can that be? How do you do tmura as oyla? We pick the first part of his expression. Tfois lashon rishon, says Rashi. We pick the first part. That's Rav Meir's opinion. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yisi, well, it depends what he had in mind. Im lekach niskav mitchila. If initially this is what he wanted to do, you can have half and half. You take it and you sell it, and half the money is applied for this and half for that. So this was his intent, this was his plan to begin with, to make half and half. Since it's virtually humanly impossible to call out two names at once, to give it a double label at the same very simultaneous expression, you can't do that. So this is the only way to do it. And so we sort of reckon with his intention, and we apply this double kedusha. The Amar, however, if he first said Tmuras Oyla, and then he changed his mind. V'nimlach v'amar Tmuras Shlomim, too late, ha-reizit Tmuras Oyla, even Rabbi Yisi would agree it's an Oyla. But anyway, the question on this was, nimlach pshita, if in fact he really changed his mind, for real, after having already declared him as a Tmuras Oyla, of course, obviously you can't change your mind, it's Kaddish. So what's the point of discussing this? On Rav Papa, it wasn't a day later, it was within, you know, Tech Kedei Dibur, and the Kiddush is we ignore that, correction. Nimlach b'Tech Kedei Dibur. So this is Rabbi Yisi speaking, and even within this short lapse of time, it's too late, it's finalized. So that's a kasha, because we assume that Rabbi Yisi holds that within the Dibur, it's all one experience. Amri's answer was, well, there are two levels, two different types of Tekhid Dibur. A shorter one, time that it takes for a person to greet, a Rebbe to greet his Talmud, you know, Shalom Alecha, just two words, and a longer Kedei Dibur, time that it takes for a Talmud to greet his Rebbe. It's an extra word or two. Shalom Alecha, Rebbe, Umayri. So that's the point. Trei Tech Kedei Dibur Habi. There are two types of Kedei Dibur. Chad, one is a shorter one. Kedei She'ela As Tamad L'Rav. As long as a Talmud takes to greet his Rebbe, a longer one actually. The Chad Kedei She'ela As Rav L'Talmud. The other one is a shorter one, the Rebbe greeting the Talmud. So he lasts the Rav Yesi Kedei She'ela As Tamad L'Rav. Rav Yesi does not agree to this longer one. As long as it takes for a Talmud to greet the Rebbe, which is Shalom Alecha, Rebbe, Umayri, something like that, Umayri, that's a long one. The Nava is too long to be considered one experience. But Kadei Shelas, Rav Talmud, that's a very common thing. A Rav, that's a short thing, and people greet each other as well. Shalom Alecha, right? So that's a very normal greeting, and it's considered one sort of contiguous experience. And it's still whatever you have done within that short amount of time is not yet finalized until the end of Kedei Dibur, Kedei Shelas Rav Talmud, which is Shalom Alecha, is late. So that much he holds of. So bottom line is, Neidzoimim is puzzle. Is it Mekana La'abo? Is it L'mafreya? Machlekes Abaye V'Rava? We thought it was dependent upon Machlekes, Tanoim, and we reconciled it in a way that it works. Amar Rava, here comes a new discussion. We speak so much about Hazama. We're the second pair. Discredits the first pair by presenting that they weren't even there at the time that they alleged the story happened. What do you mean? You were in New York at 9 o'clock Sunday morning? You were with us in Chicago at that same very moment. They are now labeled Eilim Zoymimim with all consequences involved. But Hakash is a totally different story. You say he killed him. We say he didn't. They're sort of directing their opposition to they're addressing the facts. They're opposing the facts. There's no din edim zemimin in this case. Rather, what do? We just cancel them. Cancel them. Two against two. We erase them, scratch them off the record. We don't reckon with any of them. Says Rava, suppose a pair of edim experienced both things. First, they were discredited on the facts, in which case they experienced hakhasha, and then the trouble wasn't over yet. They were discredited on the personal factor as well. Well, you guys weren't even there at the time. Question. Do they become Edim Zayman? Or perhaps not. Once they've experienced Akhasha, they're canceled. They're deleted. They're not active Edim anymore. And are no longer susceptible to Hazama. Says Rabbi, no, they are. Amar Rabbi, Edim Shokhash Lepsev Huzmu. If Edim are first contradicted on the facts and then become Hazama on the personal side, Neher Rogat. So if they purported that a person killed somebody and they tried to impose death penalty on him, now they get killed. Why the hakhasha? Because the hakhasha that they experienced first is tchilas hazama, is viewed as, you know, phase one of the discreditation process, which led into phase two. So they're still around, they're still to be reckoned with, and they can experience hazama. Elish l'enigma, was phase one, it wasn't completed until phase two. How do I know this is true? The son, we have a price. So we know that if a master of an Eved Kanani knocks out his eye or his tooth, he goes free. But let's say he knocks out his eye, so that triggers freedom, and then he knocks out his tooth. He has to pay, he has to compensate him for the value of the tooth. This is obvious, we have a price. Midonu v'ish plemi. Two Edom come one day and say, look, we're going to testify that this and this person, who was a master of an Eved, look what he did, he attacked his Eved viciously. Shesimei es ein avda. He blinded his Eved. That triggered freedom. He pilashina, and then he knocked out his tooth, which is worth $100, he has to pay the $100. Sharei Arava Imerkin, and even the master agrees to us. Why does he agree? The Gemara later will explain, because they were trying to lower his bills, actually. We'll see why. V'nitzazim, it's been discovered that these Edom are just plotters, fabricators, falsifiers. Mishamad mei ayin le'evet. So now, they have to compensate the Evet for his eye, because, basically, they falsify the story. Now, what exactly happened? Hechidami, is this all? How does this make sense? Elam Ektiktani, is it as Bryce is presenting, with nothing else involved? The Leka Katachrina, there's no other group of Edom involved, it's just these. How does this halacha work? Turns out that there's Zayimin, Misham, and the Mayayin, the Eved, they have to compensate the Eved for his eye, which is $1,000. What do you mean? If anything, they were trying to help him. Basa, the Mafkud, the Chiris. After they triggered his freedom, which is worth more than $1,000. So we're giving him more than that. They have to pay him for his eye? Question number one. Question number two. What happened to the poor master who they tried to make him lose his eved. They have to compensate him for the entire eved. Dmei, kulei eved, the rabbi, the shlumi. Boy, third question is, Shareya Rav Eimer Kain? The rab is in agreement with the eidim? He's yelling and screaming. Why would the rab agree? Harab min yichale. Why would the master be pleased with this testimony? So, we cannot really understand the price at face value. That it was just one pair followed by eidim maziman. El olav, it must be, it was more to the story. There were three pairs of eidim involved. Number one, you're going to also be trip. First pair came and said, Va'amri, well, actually, this is a sequence of events. Hippolis shinai, simias einai. First came the tooth, which triggered freedom, and then came the eye, which triggered a $1,000 bill. The boy masiv leherav tmeyainai. The master has to pay the $1,000. So that part wasn't mentioned in the brisa, but that's a very pertinent introduction. Tooth and then eye. Va'osubetre mitziyai. And then come the second pair. Switched around the sequence. So he meant to go free, but with a slight difference. Compensation bill is lowered. Va'amri, they said, einai. First came the eye, which triggered freedom, no payment there. V'hadar shina, and then came the tooth, $100 bill. So they try to lower the master's bill from 1,000 to 100. He's pretty pleased with that. So, according to their version, he only pays for the tooth $100. So, basically, first pair is contradicting second pair. So there's hakhosha going on. Right? V'hainu shareya rav eimer kain. So now, the master is pleased, right? Because he's pretty happy that his bill was lowered from 1,000 to 100 by the second pair. So, pair number two was contradicted by first pair. Right? And still, what does the price say? Uktani, v'nimtzu zayrimin, mitziyoi. The second pair turns out to be zayrimin by a third pair who is mazim then. What are you talking? You were not even there. Mishalmend d'mayayin le'evet. So they have to compensate the evet because they were trying to skimp him. They were trying to cut corners, lower the compensation payment from 1,000 to 100. They have to pay that extra to the evet. So what does this prove to us? As Rav Shmami, no, we can have a right from here. Akhrash, even though they experienced akhrash before the azama, tchilas azama, it's regarded as phase one leading into the azama, and they're still liable for azama. So that's Rav's raya. To his concept. Amar Abaye, no, loy. Who says we're speaking about three Adam and the second pair was first contradicted and then went through Hazama, which proves your point. Oh, we're speaking about two Adam, two pairs, no more. Loy daf chinu vazminu. One pair came and spoke about eye and then tooth. And the master already knew that really he attacked the Eved. Eved is about to go free. In fact, a day later came another pair and said, first of all, look, you first pair, you were never even there. Hazama. But actually, there was some sort of attack, but they switched the sequence. It was tooth and followed by eye. So the Eved goes free regardless, but the master has a big bill now. A very large compensation bill of $1,000. So the Rav is sort of pleased with the first testimony because he knew, he was anticipating the second pair. He knew the Eved was going to go free sooner or later. And he was pleased to hear that the Eidim will come to minimize his bill, to lower the compensation payment from the Eino to the Shina. So that's what the Brisa meant when it said, Harava Imer Kain. And ultimately, it turns out that they're falsifiers, they're Eidim Zaymimin. So they have to pay the Eved the difference of what they intended on being mafsid, making him lose. But ultimately, says Abaye, that's what we're speaking about. One pair followed by another pair. Who are Mazen, the first pair, there's no Hakhash, there's no contradiction, there's no Halacha Hakhash here. Therefore, it's unrelated to your discussion, you have no right from the Brais. And the Gemara now continue. It's a long discussion regarding this back and forth, Abaye v'Ravin, the way they learned the Brais. Okay, so we'll leave it for now, but Hashem will pick it up tomorrow. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.